Hey, this is JP with REITips.com, and the audio you're about to hear is a recording of about a half-hour conference call regarding Bill H.R. 1728, which you may have heard of as a real estate investor by now. It's making its way through being approved at lightning speed right now, and it notably affects the property rights, private property rights of Americans. There's actually a little controversy regarding this bill right now in the real estate investing world. On one end of the spectrum, we have some respected voices in the industry saying it's really not that big a deal, nothing to worry about. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have some of our other respectable industry leaders saying this is a huge deal and should be taken very seriously and fought tooth and nail. I tend to lean towards the latter group. I think this is a big deal, and I think it's important, even if it doesn't affect everyone in our industry. But I'm going to leave it up to you to decide based on what we have here. The five voices you're about to hear in this conference call are that of Peter Conti, a name you should recognize if you've been in this business for very long, Vena Jones Cox, also the real estate goddess there, attorney Jeff Schiller, lobbyist Charles Castle. This is the lobbyist for National REIA, as well as one of the nation's largest apartment associations, and Clint Henman, who is the editor of the Noteworthy newsletter, which is the largest subscription-based newsletter for the note industry in existence. And these guys are just going to kick this around a little bit and give you some really clear advice on what to do, how to deal with this if it's important to you. And I think it's well worth listening to if this is an issue that you too feel is important and worth doing something about. So thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the conference call.
Hey, Peter, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. maybe we should just give these folks a little bit of background about what the intent of this short call is so that we can make sure that everybody's on the same page and understands what all the chatter on the Internet is about.
Good. Well, we've got the recording going, and we've got the everyone's muted except for a few of us here who are going to be doing some of the initial talking, and then later on we will open up the lines for questions. So we're here to help you out, get you the information, and again, there's a lot been going on the Internet as far as this is an issue, this is not an issue. So for those of you who are listening either to the live version of this right now or listening to this later as a recorded version, thanks for your interest. It's so easy these days just to figure that someone else is going to take care of a problem and it's not going to affect you. And that's really why a lot of these things end up getting passed and going through is just the apathy of the different people out in the community. So thanks, all of you, for attending. Vena, do you want to just jump in and give us a big picture overview?
Yeah, so I'll give the biggest picture overview you ever heard and then leave it to the experts that are going to be on to drill down into it a little more. Basically, there is a resolution that is in front of the Senate right now because it has already passed the Congress that came up very, very quickly and that is likely to affect the way we do business and possibly whether we can do business in the way that we've been doing it. The overall bill is an anti-predatory lending act and is generally meant to stop some of the abuses that have been going on with banks and mortgage brokers and so on. But there's a cause of concern in the definitions part of the bill, which you can read online, which is Section 101(3)(e), which defines people who do more than one sort of creative selling transaction, an owner-held mortgage, land contract, that sort of thing, every 6 months as being a party who would be regulated by this bill, which is extremely extensive. Just getting through the whole thing is a nightmare. And there's sort of two divergent opinions on what this means. There's been some talk that doesn't really change things much because people who do owner-held mortgages, wraparound mortgages, creative financing, things like that, are typically are already governed by some of the things included in the bill, like the truth in lending laws and so on. But the other chain of thought here is that, one, this is sort of a really bad precedent that the federal government is getting involved in private property transactions. that if you own a home and want to sell it creatively, the federal government shouldn't be jumping in, loading a whole lot of regulations on you that you probably can't comply with when it's, again, your house. You're not a mortgage lender if you're the typical real estate investor. The other area of concern is it looks as if, in some places anyway, it may require you to get a mortgage broker's license in order to sell more than one property every 36 months creatively. And the idea that you have to be licensed to sell your own property under terms and conditions that are already regulated by your state just seems a little overwhelming to a lot of folks. So we've got Jeff on the line, and Peter, if you want to introduce him and let him make a few comments on what he's seen in it, this might be a good time to do that.
Okay, yeah, this is Peter Conte again. Thanks for joining us. This is an issue that requires all of us to step up and be heard, and that's what this country is made of. And again, the worst thing to do is just figure that this is going to go away. It's not going to affect you and your investing. I met attorney Jeff Schiller a number of years ago. He is the person I go to when I have any questions of legal matters, particularly things regarding laws. Jeff lives in Maryland, as I do. And in Maryland, we did a poor job of coming out against some of these laws that were put into place to protect homeowners, which I think they probably do an okay job of doing that, but they've in the process made things very difficult for some of us who just want to run a decent business and treat people fairly and don't need a lot of laws gumming up the works for us. Jeff actually put together a training along with myself on the Maryland foreclosure laws, and I got to know him in the process, and I'm just really excited to have us with us here today, attorney Jeff Schiller. Jeff, you with us?
I'm here, Peter. Hi, Vina. Hi, everybody.
So, Jeff, what's your slant on this? And we're going to come back in a little bit and address some of the questions, the concerns, the issues that have been brought up on the Internet, in particular the, hey, this doesn't matter as long as you comply with the truth in lending. You don't need to worry about this. We're going to come back to that later. But from a big picture perspective, what's this law look like, Jeff, when you take an initial look at it?
Well, it's tough. I think when you're looking, staring down the barrel of the old Truth in Lending Act, which this is really part of. It's an amendment to the Truth in Lending Act that's been around for quite a while. That's regulated all types of consumer transactions related to credit, and it's tough to look at hundreds of pages of that, and then hundreds of pages of the proposed law, and quickly make a determination of how deep of an impact this will have on investors and sellers. But in the short time that I've had to look at it, I've tried to drill down on some of it, take a look at what it means or may mean for the investors out there, and to some of our rights generally as citizens. And from a 50,000-foot perspective, people have to recognize that, and this is, I think Vina described this properly, which is, there is a camp out there right now saying, hey, this is no big deal because we're all already subject to the Truth in Lending Act and other federal legislation, and for the most of us, certain state regulations regarding holding notes or extending credit out to buyers of homes. I think the problem with that reasoning is that we have to recognize that this is a whole new section, a long section of the Truth in Lending Act, and it was entitled the Predatory Lending Act, the Mortgage Reform and Predatory Lending Act. And the real intent of this, I think, at the start of it by the federal government, was to control, obviously predatory lending and mortgage originators, and making sure that some of the abusive lending practices that led us to the economic meltdown and catastrophe that we're in now stop, and putting a lid on that and putting some checks and balances in place. And I think we're all in favor of that. I don't think anyone really has a problem with good housing and mortgage reform. But where this, at least it seems as though where this goes astray, is it's added a whole new definitional section under the Truth in Lending Act. And the real issue in all of this, to me at least, the way I interpret this, is whether sellers of properties will be deemed mortgage originators if they sell more than one property every 36 months. And by the way, I want to make a comment about that. The exception to the code regarding that says that the code, this Mortgage Originator Reform Act, will not it doesn't apply with respect to a residential mortgage loan for a person, a state, trust, or somebody that provides mortgage financing for the sale of one property in any 36-month period, provided that that loan is fully amortizing, is with respect to a sale for which the seller determines in good faith and documents that the buyer has a reasonable ability to repay, whatever that means, reasonable, and has a fixed rate or meets all their cost criteria that the federal government sets in place. So it's not like you can just do one loan every 36 months and, you know, whatever terms you want. It's you're allowed to do one loan every 36 months, and as long as you meet these three or four requirements, you're not going to be subject to this law, and we're not going to deem you a mortgage originator. The problem is, what if I am deemed a mortgage originator? And I think that's some of the stuff that we'll get into a little bit. But from a big picture, the people that say it's not a big deal, it may be a big deal. And I think the message that we should take from all this at the end of the day is we better all get educated as to what this is going to mean to us, how we conduct our business, and make sure we understand it. And if it is going to negatively impact our ability, and I use our in terms of investors, lawyers, everyone that's going to involve themselves in these types of creative transactions, we better take the steps to act on it and get it properly amended, or apathy will just let the government self-impose what they want to on us.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jeff. And, you know, certainly the way the law is written now, it's going to affect, you know, the average real estate investor simply by having a property and selling it with any type of terms. You know, if you do more than one every 36 months, or if you sell something, I'm trying to think if I've ever sold a property with a 30-year note. No, I've not.
Probably not. Right.
Definitely not. Now, Peter, I didn't hear either of the other panelists announced, but if they're here, maybe they could speak up.
I'm Clint Hinman, and I'm online.
Hey, good. And Clint, you are the editor. And I'm sorry, I know you sent me a bio, but my computer crashed.
No problem.
So you're the editor of the Noteworthy newsletter, and that company, for those who are not familiar with it, is probably the largest membership organization for people who buy and sell notes and mortgages in the country, and it has been for years and years and years. So obviously this directly affects both the company itself and your own individual business. And
that's absolutely right.
You wanted to say a couple of things about it as well.
Well, I think Jeff summarized it very well as to how it's going to impact especially people that work the business. But in addition, I think we need to concentrate on the fact that it's going to hurt mom and pop America, because that's really what the federal government wants to hear. They really don't care about small business. I don't want to say they don't care, but they don't lend an ear to somebody that's you know, in the quote-unquote mortgage business right now. That's not who's getting the sympathy these days. But if you talk about a 65-year-old that has no way to sell their properties, and earn an income because they become a violator of the law, they may take notice of that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the angle that we're looking at, is how it affects the everyday Americans that want to buy and sell and retain the right to contract.
Mm-hmm. So. And one of our goals with this call is to let people know how they can let their elected representatives know that there is a huge mass of professional real estate investors out there, not the gigantic mass of scumbags that the elected officials seem to think we are, and that we do pay attention to this, we do care, we do vote, and we do want the definition of a private owner removed from the law before it passes. And we're going to be giving folks some information a little bit later about a website where you can go and download the text of the law download some sample letters and emails to send to your senators and find out who your senator actually is. And we want to strongly encourage people to not just take action, but get all of your friends and relatives to take action, because the a great outcome of this would be if just the Senate stood up and took notice that we are here. We are not particularly organized right now, although hopefully in the near future that will happen, and that they can't just pass this sort of thing without getting some input from us the same way they do from real estate agents and from bankers and from all the other people who have strong lobbyists and strong PACs on Capitol Hill. I'm curious to see if Charles Castle has joined us. I'm going to take that resounding silence as a no. I know Charles was up in Columbus today testifying at some lead paint hearings. He's the lobbyist for the National Real Estate Investors Association, as well as the Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky Apartment Association. So I'm hoping that he will still make it on the line. He was going to walk out of that hearing and try to get on his cell phone and call in, but it doesn't look like he has been able to do that so far. So, Peter, did you have any further comments before we started directing people to where to go to do something about this?
Just to you know, get out there and let your voice be heard. Your options for contacting your senator these days are pretty much a phone call, an email, or a physical letter. And Vina, you and I were talking about this the other day, and you were sharing with me how your understanding is that a physical letter, while it might take a little bit more work to do, carries more weight. Phone calls, I don't know that you get past voicemail these days, but certainly worth a try, and then emails count as well.
Yes.
So
really all three methods of contact would probably be the ideal thing for most people. And I'd just like to add to what was said by the other experts here that this may not be all that politically popular, but the very idea of the federal government starting to head down this slippery slope of regulating private property transactions all over the country sort of frightens me. I just keep thinking, what's next? Because I've seen in many, many states where a small law will be passed that's kind of an incursion into private property rights, and then it's much easier to pass the next one and the next one and the next one. And what do we end up with? We end up with Maryland's foreclosure law. We end up with Texas's lease option and land contract law. We end up with North Carolina's near miss on an anti-subject to law. Once the government decides that you are the bad guy and that you need to be controlled even beyond the normal legislation that would cover things like tenant-landlord law and your dealings with lenders and borrowers and so on, they tend to go kind of crazy with it. And you know, I don't know what's next. Am I going to need a real estate license to sell my own house next? Is that going to be it, or is it going to be something else? So just from the perspective of keeping the federal government from trying to regulate something that they really have no business being in, I think it's important to take action. We have set up a website that is called relegislativeissues.com, and because, again, this came upon all of us pretty quickly, I think Peter and I decided to set up this call late on Tuesday. That site has not completely propagated. It's if you go to it, you may see it, or you may see a message that says there's an error with this website. It should have propagated by an hour from now, if it has not already. If you go to that site, relegislativeissues.com, you will find, again, some sample letters just to get you started in writing to your senator on what some of the big issues are. You will find a link to the law if you decide to read it. Good luck. You will find a link to tell you who your senators are and, very importantly, who the senators on the banking committee are. Because once this comes up on the Senate floor, which should happen in the next week or two, it'll be directed to that committee, who will be the one that actually debates it. So if you are in a state that is represented by someone who's on that banking committee, be extra special sure that you get in contact with them, because they are going to be the ones who come out with a let's pass this or let's not pass it recommendation to the Senate as a whole. I know National RIA is working on a position paper on the bill right now, and will be sending that to the banking committee. I know that they are also rallying their group leaders to let people know about this and to encourage them to do these mailings, these emails, these phone calls. They are working on it, but they cannot do it alone. We're talking about a staff of 4 or 5 people here, and they're not going to be able to do it alone. So we really, really need as many people as possible to make this contact, to make the impression on the Senate that this needs to not just go by without any amendment.
This is Charles.
Hey, Charles. I'm so glad you're here. All right. I know you...
Took me a few minutes. I was interrupting, but I was muted. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I tried to summarize what I thought you were going to say, but perhaps it would be better coming from your mouth than from mine.
Well, hopefully not to duplicate, but I heard you mentioning about the Senate, and one of the most impactful ways we can do this is letting, if people that are in states that have a senator on the Banking Senate Committee, that's the committee that's actually going to be hearing this bill first, they need to know that we have serious concerns as small business owners about this and that it will impact our businesses. The website you refer to or are going to talk to about in a minute, some of those sample letters, make sure that they're personalized on personal letterhead or business letterhead in that senator's district. If you're not in the senator's district, don't send to them, because it will go right out into the garbage or the email trash or whatever. But focus on your senator, especially if they're in on the Senate Banking Committee, which if when you go to that website, you can click on committees and click on banking, and it has it up there. It's Senator Dodd and Senator Shelby are the ranking members. And what you want to do is make sure you contact them. The best way is either email or fax, and that way they'll get a copy of it quickly. If it's mailed, it'll go off. It'll take 2 to 3 weeks to actually get there, and it'll get there after it's been radioactivized and everything else. It takes forever that way. So just fax or email, and make sure you let them know as a small business owner the impact you're going to have or that this law could have in your area. Let them know that you are available as a resource, and if you're contacted, National RIA can help supply you with information to provide to them. And we are developing answers and questions on that. We were talking with Clint on this earlier and following up with Jeff's wonderful comments both yesterday and today to basically put a list together of problems and solutions for the politicians. If you just come to them with problems, they tend to push you off, but when you come to them with a solution, that's exactly what they love. So we need to raise it as an issue, it's a controversy, which then they'll listen to us. And then from there, give them a solution of here's how to do this better. We're all about disclosure, but once you start limiting what private business can do, you stop the economic flow, and that's exactly the opposite of what we want to do.
And Charles, we appreciate your work on this. You, like the rest of us, were sort of blindsided by the speed with which this bill moved through and was voted on by the House of Representatives. And here we are.
2-week time frame for the House, which is lightning speed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and I just want to make one follow-up comment to Charles. Those are great points regarding, you know, how to contact the senator. I've received a couple emails from some people that are involved in, you know, petitioning senators and politicians. And it's important that you take the sample letters and put them in as best you can into your own words, because if they're too much alike, sometimes they consider it just mass-produced by only a few people. So it's certainly important to make sure that you personalize it and talk about the impact to you versus just a form letter.
And to your sellers and buyers, because one of the points that I made in my letter was that there are a lot of people right now who in order to avoid foreclosure, are selling their properties creatively, and this is not going to make the foreclosure problem less if you reduce the choice of people in selling, and it's not going to make the problem less if buyers who have been through foreclosure can't buy a house. And, you know, what do we provide? Housing for people who couldn't qualify for a typical bank loan sometimes because they went through foreclosure. So the impact on the victims is probably important to mention. And Charles, I wanted to ask you one more question before we wrapped up. For people who might have press contacts, who might know reporters for business journal type things or their local papers or whatever, would you be able to support them in the sense of if they made a press contact, being available to comment for potential articles?
We can, and I would also throw that net around Jeff Schiller as well there for specific comments on it. As a lobbyist, we're sometimes very mercenary. We take what our client says, go do this, and get it done, because we know the channels. And we look to the experts to tell us exactly what to get done. But yes, we can definitely be available for that. And part of what we want to do is be providing information out there in the form of talking points and a fact that we're working on, so that when you speak to your local press and your local politicians, and the emphasis is on local, that you can convey those points, because it comes much more loudly and clearly when it's a local member, an investor in the neighborhood, versus somebody who's, you know, 200, 500, 1,500 miles away.
Okay. Very good. The website is relegislativeissues.com. If you're not seeing it right now, just go back again in an hour or two. I just got a text from the fellow who's working on the site, and he says that depending on what server you're using, it may take longer than that to propagate, but don't, you know, bookmark it and go back. The call will be posted there probably sometime tomorrow, and I think, Peter, that we can certainly give any bloggers out there permission to repost the call on their blogs so that
absolutely
other folks can hear it.
And Vina, if I could jump in, this is Clint again. We also, Noteworthy also set up a website to do something similar to what you're doing. And, you know, I'd love to work in conjunction with you if that helps, you know.
Absolutely. That would
reach
be,
the masses.
That would be wonderful. And we have a lot of instructors around the country who are letting their students and customers know about this, and hopefully we'll get a big head of steam about it. I would love to see tens of thousands of letters and phone calls and emails go to the local elected officials, because that will make a real impression. And it also has the advantage of giving us something to rally around, so that next time this happens, we don't get surprised by it, and we can have a more organized and more sort of timely response to it. Not that that's anybody's fault in this case, because it was pushed through so quickly, but I would love to see that happen as well. So again, the site is relegislativeissues.com. relegislativeissues.com. Does anyone have any final comments they'd like to make?
Yeah, this is Peter Conti. I think just in summary, you know, again, there's been a lot of back and forth on the internet. And Jeff, I don't know if you want to take just one more swipe at this, but, you know, to say that this law as written doesn't affect us as real estate investors, it doesn't affect homeowners, is wrong, in my opinion. It does affect us because there's further requirements that limitations on how we can take a piece of property that you own and sell. And you know, if you want to live in a country where every single last thing you do is highly regulated and you're prohibited from doing things like selling real estate creatively, then you don't need to do anything. Just sit back and laws like this will go through and all of our rights will go away. If you are concerned about that, then get a hold of your senator. And Dina, I understand there's a link on the website where someone can click and find out specifically who their senator is and how to get in touch with them. Is that right?
Exactly, yes.
So, yeah, go to the website, get a hold of your senator and say, hey, I'm upset about this. It's going to affect me. This is not, we don't need a law like this. If there is a law like this that goes through, certainly this provision that draws in private property owners should be cut from the law before it moves ahead. Jeff, for some of the people saying this really doesn't affect us as investors, what's your slant on that before we sign off here?
Well, I guess I probably couldn't say it much better than the way that you said it. It's clear that what the intent of this statute was, if you look at kind of where this thing was directed at, I can't see where it should have been or was directed at the investors, but sometimes unintended consequences lead us down the wrong path. And if you read the plain meaning of the statute to say that it doesn't apply to us, or it's not going to apply to us, or it's not going to impact or hurt us, I think it's just kind of sticking your head in the sand and not being involved the way you need to be involved. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us again to get educated about why it's here, how it's going to hurt us, and make sure that we have our voices heard. And I have one last question. I don't remember if it was mentioned or whether it's contained in any of the website content. I know probably other people are wondering this, but do we have any idea of how long we have to respond to this before this makes its way through the Senate?
This is Charles. Let me try to address that a little bit. We're right now waiting to hear on when it's going to be scheduled. And one of the things we encourage is when you contact your Senate office, ask in there to be updated on any updates or when the bill's going to be moving forward. At this point, I haven't seen a scheduling on it yet. And as soon as that happens, we'll be broadcasting that out because that'll give us a deadline. There are a number of issues floating out there that are taking up high priority, so we may have a little bit of time on it. And the Senate likes to label itself as the deliberative body, so we may have a little more time than usual. But this is a front burner kind of issue that will get moving forward. So we need to make sure we're contacting sooner rather than later. And if you contact your Senate office, even if you walk into your local office, hand them a letter, that letter will then get to D.C. ASAP, and they will know that there are concerns about this and follow up along the lines of questioning. And literally the senators will sometimes take those letters and ask the question that's in the letter of the people that they're asking in the committees or that are trying to push this bill forward.
And every call, every email, every letter counts. And this is one of these situations where you can't depend that everyone else who's listening is going to do something about it. You have to do something about it. And again, you have to encourage your colleagues, your real estate association, anyone who is going to be affected by this bill to take some action and just let the Senate know that this just can't stand the way it is.
I can follow up on that. It's Charles again. Just point about the limitations on it and such are true, but the other side to it is this is the bill itself. Regulations always follow after the bill, and they follow in conjunction with the intent of the bill. And what that means is that if the bill is trying to reach out and grab various aspects of the finance market or what's perceived as financing, then the regulations will continue to angle along those same lines. And what the bill doesn't quite get, typically the regulations will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it needs to be controlled and defined at the bill level, so when the regulations come out, they don't, whether it's unintended or intended, don't reach out and cover those areas that we're very concerned about.
That's a great point. I want to make one final point. I think that's a great point, and we discussed that a little earlier, Vina, which is, you know, they use the bill itself crack open the door. And then they use what's called the Code of Federal Regulations that Charles is talking about to kick open the door and regulate things that may not have been initially intended to be regulated by it. But that's what we really need to be concerned with. This bill may paint the broad strokes by which will be regulated, but it will be the regulations themselves put together by all these judicial bodies in the government and regulatory bodies that will ultimately lead us down a path that perhaps we don't want to go.
All right, very good. We certainly want to thank the panelists who joined us for taking the time on very short notice out of their day to sort of clarify this for all of us. And I want to thank Peter for having the idea in the first place, and thank everyone who joined us for taking the time to learn more and to go take action. Again, the website is relegislativeissues.com.
Well, thank you, Vina. This is Peter Conti saying thanks all of you for being on this call. If you're listening to the recorded version, thanks special thanks to Jeff Schiller, our editor of Noteworthy Magazine, who also joined us, whose name is?
Clint Hinman.
All right. And
to Charles.
Thanks, all of you. Let's get the word out. Thanks also to Charles. And I'm sorry.
Tassel.
Okay.
The lobbyist for National RIA.
All right. Go National RIA, and let's get this one knocked down, and then keep our eyes up and stay alert and respond when these things come up, because you need to be involved. If you're not a member of a RIA group that's involved in looking at legislative issues and taking them head on when they come up like this, find a good RIA group, look up National RIA. And we'll go from there. So thanks all of you for listening to this call, and make your letter. The recommendations were to fax or to email. So let's get the word out and see what we can do with this.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.